There we go. So, it's my pleasure to introduce Rishi Rai. He's one of the GSOC students from last year and worked on GCC LTO. Ah, I remember it clearly. So welcome here. He actually came here, got some travel funding from the GNU Toolchain Fund, so that's also a thing the community can offer to students. Not all times and so on, there's conditions, but yeah, it worked in this time. Okay. Well, that's not good.
Should I hold it?
Yeah.
Should I keep it? So, hello everyone. I am Rishi Raj, and today I'll be presenting my GSOC work on GCC's LTO, and along with I will share my experience with first-time contribution to GCC. So basically, this is little about me. I am undergraduate student from India, and I love Terminal. Because I am lazy and it helps me to automate a lot of tasks. And also I keep changing my distro about each 2-3 months, and this I think this is very problematic because a lot I spend a lot of time in that. Apart from that, in my free time I love to read fiction, travel, and I play badminton a lot. So moving on, so before discussing my project, let's discuss some of the things related to my project. So first let's discuss about the LTO. So traditionally, what compiler used to do is for optimization, it is done at the compile time. So each of the compilation unit is optimized independent of other compilation unit. But when we think about a real world project, we are missing a lot of context, because in real world project there are several compilation unit which are related to each other, and if we can find some context between these compilation unit, then we can optimize more. So in LTO, what we do is, instead of optimizing, along with optimizing at compile time, we also compile at linking time. So linker is aware of all the translation unit, so there is obviously more optimization. Only downside being a longer compile time and more usage of memory during compilation. In GCC, to enable LTO, you can either use -f LTO flag or -f fat LTO objects flag. So basically, the second flag is to save JIMPL bytecode along with LTO IL in the LTO object file. Now let's discuss the basic structure of a ELF file. ELF file is basically used for storing binaries, libraries, and executables on Linux and Unix-based system. So here you can see that there is a ELF header. ELF header basically contains the metadata about the ELF file to identify the ELF file on which system it was produced, etc. Apart from this, there is a program header table which is not relevant to my talk because it's used for executable, and I am going to talk about the object files. So the main interest is section header table. Basically, it contains the different information about different section along with their names. So in LTO, this is the typical structure of ELF files. So you can see these sections prefixed with .gnu.lto prefix, right? So these sections are produced by LTO streamer. So now let's discuss the role of an assembler in producing LTO object file. So right now we discussed that these all section with .gnu.lto prefix are produced by LTO streamer. All are already in the binary format. So assembler doesn't touch this. Like basically, the assembler take this as an input and output it the object file. The only thing which assembler does is it produces .symtab which contains the symbols, .strtab which contains the string representation of section names, and .strtab which contains the symbol name in the string representation. Apart from that, if you are compiling with debugging flag, then it also produces various debug symbols along with their relocations. So assembler basically performs two functions. First is to generate this three section .simtab.str-tab.sstr-tab. And if debugging option is enabled, then it produces these debug sections. So now my project was to bypass assembler. So first, let's discuss why we wanted to bypass assembler. So we already talked about like what was the function of assembler in producing LTO object file. It was basically two things. And those two things were not very complicated. It can be actually done by compiler. So what benefit we'll get if we produce that from compiler? So like we already noted the fact that a lot of sections with the GNU LTO prefix were produced by the LTO streamer. And compiler just have to scramble through that, take that input and produce as output in the object file. So there was a lot of I/O over it. So here you can see the result. So with bypass, we are taking like 14 seconds to compile a single compilation unit file. And with default part, it was taking 21 seconds. So only for a single compilation unit, there was a difference of 7 seconds. So if we like we are currently testing it on the real world project like Firefox and all, and we'll publish the result, and we hope to see a drastic improvements. So to implement the project, we along with my mentor divided into two parts. The first part was to extend the libliberty. Basically, libliberty is a helper module which have various function to write and read from an object file. So we extended the libliberty to output symbol table and a string table. So the first task which assembler was performing was done by this. The second task was to output various debug sections and symbols along with their relocation directly. So this was a little bit complicated for me. The first thing was that GCC, there was not sufficient documentation of GCC LTO debug architecture on the GCC website. So I got in contact with Richard, who have implemented the GCC debug architecture, and he helped me through it. And also the documentation of Dwarf debugging format was a little bit intimidating as a beginner, but as we proceeded further with help of my mentor, I was successfully able to navigate that. And as of now, we have I have successfully implemented the support for ELA file format, and it can be found in the devel by bypass ASM branch of the GCC repository. So you can go there and see that, and if you have some comments, you can reach back to me. For now, we are only supporting x86 target for relocations. And we are eventually planning to roll out to other architectures too. And we will also provide support for other object files other than ELF too. So now let's talk a little bit about how I got this opportunity to work in open source with GCC. So basically, I tried getting into open source before a few times, but it was a bit intimidating for me because due to the large code base and all those things. So one of my friends recommended me to try for GSOC. And when I was going through various projects, then this project interested me. And thanks to Dev, his newbies guide was very helpful me to introducing to GCC. And then I applied and eventually got selected. So basically, GSOC is an opportunity for first new contributors to get started with open source. And applications for this year is opening on 18 March. If any one of you are interested, then you can sure apply. A shout out to the people who made it possible for my contribution. First, Google for organizing GSOC, which provided me a good platform to launch me to the open source world. My mentors Jan and Martin for helping and guiding throughout the summers to complete the project. Thomas and Dev for securing the sponsorship and also for my visa process. Thanks a lot. Or also to the GNU Toolchain Fund, which sponsored this attendance. Thanks for your attention. These are my socials. If you want, you can connect me here.
And we have 4 minutes for questions.
Any plans on extending it for the non-LTO case, so including regular assembly, machine
code, but it will be repetition of assembler only, right? In non-LTO case.
The question, so that
please repeat the question that we have it on. Please repeat the question that we have it on the video.
Oh, okay. So, he is asking if we have any plans to extend it for non-LTO case.
Right.
So, in non-LTO case, won't it be simply repetition? Like, we'll be building another assembler, right? We'll have to anyways assemble all of those stuff.
Yeah, just not going to text to go an external program, right? Just go directly to
can you please repeat?
The fact that you see does that is a feature is absolutely not done. So we should keep text as an immediate format.
Repeat the question.
Any more questions?
Yeah, you said that you need more relocation, right? For the targets and so on. Is it just like a relocation for a pointer, that kind of thing? Or do you really need all kinds of relocations?
So he is asking that telling that we need more relocation. So is it like relocation for pointers or relocation, we need or more relocations? So basically for every architecture, the relocation structure is different, right?
Yes.
So for each debug section, we need to output a corresponding relocation so that during the late debug phase, the linker could identify that debug section and link it. So for each architecture, we need to change that structure and output corresponding relocation. Basically, the address and the addend will be different in the different format.
I think I understand. Thanks.
How will this work adapt in case other debugging formats gets added, you know, that need to be, you know, reading during LTO? Because I see that you did some of the stuff in DOF2ALS, right?
Yeah. Can you please repeat?
Well, I think that the LTO streamer, part of the stuff that it dumps, uh-huh, you bypass, right, directly, is basically how attaches your work to DORF, to the DORF format.
Oh, okay.
Because this is now support CTF and BTF, which are